Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Sermons. This week we are continuing our series on the S word, where we are diving into the seven deadly sins and their impacts on our lives today. Today we're going to be learning about greed, something that we all struggle with in many ways that maybe we don't even recognize. We value security, we plan for the future, and we keep striving for more. And while that's not all bad, greed keeps us trapped in cycles of wanting that ultimately hurt us and everyone around us.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." The Gospel of Christ.
Hey, I want you to take a look at this image here. Behold, cast your eyes upon this. This is Apophis. Apophis is named after the Egyptian god of chaos, which doesn't sound too promising. Apophis is an asteroid about the size of three hockey arenas. And in the year 2029, it is going to have a really close call with planet Earth. It was just a few weeks ago we were being told that there was a 3.7% chance that Apophis was going to strike Earth. And then NASA changed their mind and they said, actually, no, it's going to miss Earth completely. And then they've kind of put a little asterisk besides that and they said, well, it could still hit Earth if it got nudged by another asteroid. Cue the nervous laughter. Ha ha ha, that won't happen, right? Because if it hit us, it would be devastating. This thing is going to come so close, it's going to pass beneath some of our satellites for sure, right? But if it hit us, it would be disastrous. It would be like 1,000 megatons of TNT going off all at once, 20 times the size of the largest nuclear device that's ever been detonated on Earth. The impact would actually have ripples. The first thing, if it were to hit water, of course, it would create tsunami that would devastate coastlines. If it were to hit land, the blast radius would be hundreds of kilometers, could flatten entire cities just like that. And then, of course, there's the dust cloud that would be ejected into the air. That would affect everything from climate to crop production. And then, of course, we have to add the whole economic consequence of it. The economy would surely crash as well. But don't worry. NASA's got their eye on it. They're monitoring Apophis very, very closely. What we should be worrying about and what we should be looking at is the asteroid that we can't see. The one that we're not tracking. And that's right, there is something else out there, a danger much harder to spot. In fact, it's not out there at all. It's in here. It's in our lives. It's in our hearts and our habits. And we call it greed. We've been working through this teaching series now throughout Lent called the S word, looking at the seven deadly sins. We started by looking at pride, and then we looked at envy, and then last week we looked at sloth, and today we come to greed. This is going to be a real tough one for us, actually, because the thing about greed is you just don't see it. Like Apophis, I dare you, go out and look into the night sky. Look up there. You will not see it. You won't see it. It just blends into the sky. It's shrouded in darkness. Is that a star or is that a puff? I don't know. But it's there, and it's deadly, and it's coming for us. And greed, too, is really, really hard to see. We don't see it. We don't see it when we look at our world. I don't see it when I look in my own life, but it's there. And here's why we don't see it. By the way, I've given you some notes today to follow along because there's lots of important stuff I want to share with you about greed. But here's the first reason why we don't see greed, and that is because we have rationalized it. Greed, we say, is what makes the world go round. Greed is good. Greed works. Our capitalist consumer culture depends on greed to function. It drives innovation. Greed fuels the economy. It rewards ambition. We need greed. You need greed for your own security, for your own success. For the system to work the way that we have set it up, we need greed. Greed is the spur of industry. It's how the world works. That's why we don't see it. We rationalize it. But secondly, we also normalize greed. We say, oh, greed, I think it's just the way things are, right? I mean, it's like the wallpaper. It's like the stars in the sky. It's just in the background of everything we do, right? And we don't recognize. We just say, oh, it's saving up. I'm just buying more. I'm just growing my wealth. That's not greed. No. That's just good financial planning, right? It's common sense. This is just what everyone does. No, greed is not a sin. It's just my lifestyle choice, right? And then the third reason we cannot see greed is because it's commercialized. This is the strategy of modern advertising. Create some discontentment in you and then sell you the solution. Greed in this way is completely manufactured. Advertisers spend billions of dollars telling you, you need this, you gotta have this, this will make you happy, you deserve the upgrade. And commercialism, it's funny, it doesn't just say you need to buy this, it says you gotta build your identity around this. We don't go shopping just to because we need something. We go shopping in order to feel something. That is commercialism at work. It's just everywhere. You don't even see it anymore. But the fourth way that we kind of, greed is invisible to us is that we have baptized it. Greed is not just something that exists out there. It also exists right in here, right in the church, right? It's the preacher who says, right, God wants you to be rich, or wealth is God's blessing, or the more you give, the more you're gonna get. This is some kind of spiritual investment plan, right? Greed can be baptized by religion. I've came across this Will Willimon quote. Said, greed is no longer a sin, it's a strategy. It's preached from the pulpit. Yikes! I'm the guy who usually stands here and preaches from the pulpit. So what does this mean? It actually kind of scares me. Is he talking about people who preach some kind of prosperity gospel? Or perhaps he's talking about the fact that sometimes we don't even want to touch this topic with a 10-foot pole, and so we avoid it at the risk of offending people. Well, guys, today we're going to talk about it at the risk of offending people. Because when you stare up at the night sky, you will not see Apophis. It's hidden. And you look around our world and look inside yourself, you will not see greed because we rationalized it, normalized it, commercialized it, and baptized it. The man in Jesus' parable today, he didn't see greed. He didn't look greedy. Look at this guy. He's not stealing, right? He's not cheating. He's just building some bigger barns, right? This looks like good financial common sense, don't you think? Right? Economic wisdom, right? We don't see greed. Jesus does. Jesus says, watch out. Watch out. When do you say watch out to someone? You say watch out when you see something that they don't. They're about to step into traffic. Watch out. They're about to step over a cliff. Watch out, right? Some sins we can see. Greed is not one of those sins. Jesus says, watch out. You don't see it. I see it, but you don't. Like Apophis, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it won't kill you. And when greed breaks in to the atmosphere of our lives and makes impact in our hearts, there are ripples of devastation. The first ripple of impact is personal unhappiness. It totally sounds strange, but research shows that greedy people, while they may have more income, they are no more satisfied. In fact, they have lower life satisfaction. And that's because greed always wants a little bit more. A little bit more money, a little bit more house, a little bit more in my closet, right? One more upgrade, one more step. That greed works this way. You get the raise, you buy the upgrade, you get the new toy, you enjoy it for a bit, but then something happens. The goalposts shift. Now it's a little further. You got to get one more thing to get to that point. And then you get that. And then the goalposts shift again. See, greed is not satisfied by getting. It is only satisfied by getting more and more. Look at the man in our story. Look, when his barns were full, did he say, oh, I've had a really successful year. I achieved my goal. No, he said, I better build bigger barns. And I'll tell you what, once those barns are full, he won't say, I'm satisfied now. No, he'll say, I better build bigger barns to hold on to more and more wealth. Greed will not let you be happy with what you have, only with having more. You know, I remember when we moved into one of our first houses. It was this old house, I want to say 75, maybe 100 years old. And I remember looking at the closets. And the closets were like tiny. There were these little compartments. They were like 2 feet deep. Like one of my shoes like fit the depth of that closet. And I think one of those closets held just my sweaters. And I was like thinking, where did people 75 years ago keep all their clothes? And then it dawned on me, 75 years ago, people didn't have as many clothes, right? They had a couple of dresses, not 25. They had a couple of pairs of pants, not 14. Today, though, we don't ask, you know, when is enough? We just build bigger barns, bigger closets, walk-in closets with, you know, walk-in closets within them, right? You know, Jim Carrey said that I think everybody should get rich and famous so that they know that it is not the answer, right? Freddie Mercury once said, you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man, and that is the most bitter type of loneliness. Or how about the Roman poet Horace, who, you know, was around Jesus' time. He said, the one who is greedy is always in want. That is the first point of impact, my friends. Personal unhappiness is where it starts, but then it ripples out from there, ripples out. The second ripple that greed has isn't just personal, it's planetary. There's an environmental crisis that comes with greed. Put simply, here's how it works. Greed fuels overconsumption, which drives environmental degradation. If greed is never satisfied, then the earth can never rest. Our need to possess more, faster, cheaper, inevitably leads to the depletion of the world's resources. Life will become unsustainable at some point because of greed. So there is this connection. You don't see it. You never see it. Between Shein and Temu and, you know, the next iPhone. And there's a connection between that and the rainforest and coal reserves and species extinction and global warming and sea levels. It is actually an open question. How long our planet can survive our greed. You know, Gus Speth said, you know, I used to think that the top environmental problems were biodiversity loss, ecosystem collapse, and climate change. I thought that within 30 years of good science, we could address these problems. I was wrong. The top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and apathy. And to deal with those, we need a spiritual transformation. So that is the second ripple. It's an economic crisis. But another ripple comes, and even more destructive than this. It doesn't just hit our happiness. It doesn't just hit our environment, but it hits the poor. Greed keeps whole populations in poverty. Global supply chains rely on things like sweatshops and unjust wages and exploitation. Why? To satisfy greed. Man, oh man, prophets like Amos, they railed against this. They sell the innocent for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground, and they deny justice to the oppressed. When we have too much, others have too little. Look, the rich guy in our reading today, he is not thinking about others at all. Just look at the language. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty, da 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 da. Thomas Aquinas said that greed is actually a sin that is directed at one's neighbor. You can't have so many riches without another person lacking them. So greed turns us inward, and we ignore our responsibility to others. Now, the final and most dangerous ripple from the impact of greed is spiritual emptiness, right? This is the deepest devastation of all because greed becomes our God, something that takes the place of the one true God. You see, God is meant to be our hope, he's meant to be our comfort, and he's meant to be our protection. But greed sneaks in and says, hey, I can do those things for you. Come on, right? I can give you hope, I can give you comfort, I can give you protection. You don't need God, you just need this, and this, and this, and this. You see, wealth and possessions become our God. The rich guy in Luke 12, he turned not to God, but to money for his security and his future. He says, I've got plenty laid up for many years. I can take it easy now. I've looked after myself. I've got enough stuff. We say, that guy's a great financial planner. God says, he's a fool. He put his faith in barns, not in God. His barns are his God. So yeah, greed. You may not see it coming, but when it hits, it's going to be an extinction-level event in your life, in this world, right? Justice will be extinct. Your happiness will be extinct. Faith will be extinct. And even this world probably won't survive it. So are you feeling depressed yet? How you feeling, right? You probably feel like Jesus' disciples. I'm reminded of the time that Jesus once told his disciples, he says, it's harder for someone who is rich to enter in the kingdom of heaven. It's actually easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. And his disciples, like us this morning, probably said, oh my gosh, then who can be saved? So depressing. But listen, with a twinkle in his eye, Jesus looked at him and said, you know what? Yeah, it's kind of impossible for a man, but with God, all things are possible. We can deflect the asteroid of greed. We can, in fact, destroy the asteroid of greed. Let me tell you about DART, NASA's Double Asteroid Redirection Test. This is amazing. In 2021, NASA launched a rocket at a very small asteroid called Dimorphos. And they wanted to see whether that rocket could actually change the trajectory of a smaller asteroid. A year later, DART collided, as it was supposed to, with Dimorphos. Boom! And success, actually. The trajectory of that little asteroid changed. And they even blew some of it to pieces. In fact, in 2029, we're going to have a meteor shower because of some of the debris from the DART project, right? Well, guess what? There is good news for the problem of greed. If we act soon enough, we can deflect it. We can destroy it, and we can avoid the devastation that comes with it. And all it takes is for us to launch a new way of thinking. And all our lives will be saved. So what is this new perspective? What is this new way of thinking? It is simply this. You got to start thinking this way. That everything we have is not owned, but loaned. Everything you have is not owned by you. It's loaned to you. Everything. Your money. Your house. Your job. Your car. Your time. Your body. Your opportunities, it's all on loan. What do you mean? Well, first of all, it's loaned to you from God. You know, Scripture tells us over and over again that we don't truly own anything. Every good gift is from above. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything that's in it. Why don't we just say that together? Because that is one of the most powerful statements I came across this week. Let's say this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God has just loaned us this stuff for a while, and one day we're going to have to give it all back to the true giver. When we become followers of Jesus, we actually acknowledge something. Nothing we possess is really ours. You know, that's why Jesus says crazy things like this. He says, any one of you who doesn't give up everything he has can't be my disciple. We say, well, what is Jesus saying? Jesus saying I have to be poor and live on the street? No, he's just saying you got to open your hands and you have got to acknowledge that none of it is yours. God is the owner of everything you have. That's the shift. That's the rocket, right? But we say, oh my gosh, Rob, I earned it, right? It's mine. I worked for this. I sacrificed for this. Yeah, you worked hard. But to say it's mine because I earned it fundamentally ignores countless variables that were outside of your control. The health you didn't create, the doors you didn't open, the economy that you didn't engineer to get your wealth, the breath in your lungs that you didn't generate, the place you were born, the family you were born into, right? Your opportunities, the strength, the skill, that door that was open at just the right time. Did you have anything to do with that? No. Your paycheck, your business, your savings. You didn't create any of those things out of nothing. They're not yours. They're not mine. God warns us not to say, oh, my power and my strength has produced this wealth for me. He says, instead, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. You're not a self-made person, neither am I. You may have filled the barns, but God gave you the seed and the soil and the sunlight and the seasons. Everything we have is loaned from God. That's a big rocket. But not only is everything we have loaned from God, but it is borrowed from others. You see, Christians have always insisted that wealth and resources are to be used for the common good. So you see, your wealth wasn't just loaned to you to bless you. It was loaned to you to bless others too. Meaning, get this, the extra that you have is probably meant for someone else. Basil the Great, who was this bishop in the 4th century, he actually called accumulation theft. Theft, who am I stealing from? He says, it's the hungry one's bread that you're hoarding. It's the naked one's cloak that you're retaining. It's the needy one's money that you withhold. Let me put it in modern language, right? The money for the expensive coffee that you purchased this morning, you borrowed that from the child who's going to school this week without breakfast, right? The winter coat, the new winter coat you have in your closet beside the four other ones that you don't wear, that was borrowed from the homeless person that you passed on your way to work, right? The money that you've saved for retirement, some of that was borrowed from the sweatshop worker who made your hiking boots that you've only worn two times. Greed isn't about what I keep. It's about what I keep from others. What we borrow from others. And I know, oh God, well, what if I don't have enough? Well, what if I need it later? What if I run out? You know, greed often hides behind these fears. It's rooted in fear, greed, right? There might not be enough. But the Bible says God will supply your needs. Not all your wants, but God will supply your needs in Christ Jesus. You know, and Jen Hatmaker, she wrote this book called Seven. It's an interesting little book. And what she did is she decluttered her closet, like I need to do, paring down everything to seven items. And she said, I'm just going to wear these seven items for a month. Why? To change my perspective. And then she wrote, she said, I used to look at my closet and think, what if I need this someday? Now I try to ask, what if someone else needs it today? This is the shift, people. This is the shift. This is the thinking that we must launch in order to divert the asteroid of greed. Everything we have is loaned from God. Everything we have is borrowed from others. You start thinking that way, and the trajectory of the asteroid of greed will change. Now, once we've made that shift, not just to deflect greed, we can actually destroy it. And so in closing, let me just share with you four other very practical rockets that you can fire at greed to eliminate its power in your life. You ready? Here they go. First rocket. What a racket. Track your spending, right? Your budget is a theological document. It shows what you believe about security and about God and joy and all that stuff. You see, greed loves to stay in the shadows, but when you bring it out into the light, bring your budget out into light, record what you spend your money on when you spend it, record what you save your money for when you keep it, right? Do that for a month, right? Because to destroy greed, we got to pay attention, right? And you actually might be shocked what you discover. That's the first rocket, just track your spending. Here's the second rocket, avoid temptation. Right? Don't go to the mall if you don't need to go to the mall, right? Don't go into any environment that makes you feel discontent and greedy. You know, maybe you got to unsubscribe from those marketing emails. Maybe you got to unfollow that influencer who is always trying to sell the latest thing to you, right? Greed is fueled by comparison, so cut it off. Cut it out. Starve it. And just avoid those temptations. The third rocket, this is going to sound like a strange one, but practice Sabbath. Sabbath is a crucial antidote to greed, and here's why. Because every week, Sabbath reminds you that the purpose of your life is not to consume, it's not to earn, it's not to accumulate. On Sabbath, what we do is we disconnect from the whole consumer system and we rest in God. Oh my gosh, greed hates Sabbath, right? Greed wants to keep you accumulating, keep you acquiring. Sabbath says, no, 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 I'm not going to do that. Right? My worth and my security come from God, not stuff. And the fourth rocket, I'm going to say this is the big one, so I'm just going to say it, tithe. Tithe intentionally. This is perhaps the oldest advice that we have on record about how to handle money. Tithing is when you decide ahead of time to give away 1/10 of your income to those in need, to the church. What better way to remind you that everything belongs to God than to habitually give him back that first portion? Tithing says, God, you gave me 100%. God, you're going to let me keep 90%, but God, at the very least I can do is offer back to you the 10% that was yours in the first place. Right? If we spend on ourselves first and then give away what we have left over, then we're still in the mindset that it's ours to do with as we please. But giving it away, right? It loosens our attachment to the stuff and increases our attachment to God. And if you're tithing now, you know what I'm talking about. You know that there is nothing like tithing to reorder your loves, to reorient your heart, to liberate your soul from the grip of greed. The only antidote to greed is generosity. And you can't think your way into generosity. You have to give your way into generosity. So friends, that asteroid is real, but so is the solution. Greed may be invisible, but Jesus saw it, named it, and warned us to watch out. So don't just go home tonight and stare into the night sky. Let's do something. Let's shift our perspective from ownership to stewardship, from mine to God's, from self to others. And if we do those things, we will not only divert, but we will destroy the power of greed in our lives and in our world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Trinity Sermons. This sermon was recorded at Trinity Church, Streetsville on March 30th, 2025.